It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. Happen to welcome back Hozier. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, you remember 2 years and 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It was one of the first sessions.
What have you been doing? You've been busy?
So when I came in and that was because as we drove up, I was like, I remember this literally. Like you remember, like it was last week. But it was one of the first sessions I did in America. I think was with you guys. And you know, two years, 3 months. It didn't make sense. I mean, it makes sense now, but it doesn't feel like when you're just living day to day on tour. But I have been out of a suitcase since that day. You know, I have not been in a state of being fully unpacked at any stage between then and now.
And no one knew a rocket was about to launch.
Yeah.
And it happened relatively quickly.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Well, thank you, first of all. It's very nice of you. But I think it did. It kind of, soon after that, like, radio play just started, you know, really picking up. And it connected in a way that I couldn't have, you know, as a kind of an indie artist or, like, an alternative artist or whatever. The song just crossed over. And then we were kind of just chasing it around the globe. So that's, you know, 2 years of kind of, you know, promoting the album then. You know, doing tours, playing in Australia, and you know, so yeah, it happened fairly quickly. So it was, but it was kind of, we were always so busy. I was always so busy that it was, you had no choice but to just keep the eyes forward, you know, and keep the head firmly fixed, you know, keep the head down.
Can you remember any of, you know, peak experiences, just life experiences where either you were playing somewhere or you met someone or things where you thought, I'm not supposed to be doing this?
Yeah. You get it all the time. So like that definitely, you know, I think the second time or like I was ever in front of a camera was like on the David Letterman show. Like, so that happens time and time again, or like doing the Grammys or whatever it is. There is always that voice inside of you that's saying, like, you know, don't F up. And also, you know, you're doomed, but you have to do it. There's no choice.
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. Her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak, a fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. 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 Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your life. I'll tell you my sins and you can chop in your knife. Offer me that deathless death and good God, let me give you my life. Take me to church, I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lights. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death and good God, let me give you my life. If I'm a pagan of the good times, my lover's the sunlight. Keep the goddess on my side. She demands sacrifice. Drain the whole sea. Get something shiny. Something meaty for the main course. That's a fine looking high horse. What you got in the stable? We've a lot of starving faithful. That looks tasty. That looks plenty. This is hungry work. Take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lights. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death and good God, let me give you my life. take me to church. I'll worship like a dog at the shrine of your lies. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that deathless death and good God, let me give you my life. No masters or kings, when the ritual begins, there is no sweeter innocence than our gentle sin. In the madness and sore of that sad earthly scene, only then I am human, only then I am clean.
Begin to perform Take Me to Church, and it has become literally, like, you know, a song that will be sung in church, it appears. Yeah. You know, in centuries to come.
Hey,
and you hear an entire crowd singing along.
Yeah,
what's that feeling like?
That is I think at first is one of the most you're taken aback by that. It's immediately one of the most rewarding things that you can hear from an audience of people kind of singing your own words back to you. And even from the first, so some of the first shows in the States, I kind of came over at first kind of, you know, it was only after some of those early shows that I realized that I might be able to get away with doing this, you know, as a living, as an artist, you know, I might be able to keep doing this. And to hear words that you kind of scribbled down or you made up in your bedroom or in the attic, you know, and it's, you're on the other side of the planet and somebody's, you know, shouting that back to you. That is, you know, that's a really overwhelming. It's, and the most rewarding, I think, you know.
Has there ever been a struggle in terms of, well, I see myself, you know, mm-hmm. and you continue to refer to yourself as an indie alternative singer songwriter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you dominate the pop scene on a massive scale. Was there any, like, struggle in your own head?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely there is. So, I mean, you know, I would refer to it being an alternative artist, certainly more so back then. I think it's tough going because I think once you cross over to that and you are perceived to be outside of that, and, you know, Take Me to Church then becomes a pop song to a lot of listeners. And it never was a pop song, but then once it's ubiquitous and once it's kind of everywhere and it's, you know, it quickly becomes a song that is suffered by people who usually listen to alt and indie. So me when I was a teenager, or me as a young 20-year-old, you realize that now that your song has just been played off the air, you know, it's like
500 million times, a billion times, whatever. It is.
So if I had been a kid listening to that, I probably would have shrugged myself off, and like I could have shrugged my music off and gone, oh, he's just, you know what I mean? It's a pop song that's just grown up. I never connected with pop music. You know what I mean?
The video was embraced by the LGBT movement. Mm-hmm. It became like a driver and a good sized fan base coalesced mm-hmm. around that.
Yeah.
And it remains mm-hmm. a champion of those rights. You also then put out a benefit single, Cherry Wine, mm-hmm. You know, champion against domestic violence. So mm-hmm. it seems that those societal causes still, you know, become a real interest of yours.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I think, I mean, that, you know, like the songs kind of, in one way or another, you find elements of that filter their way into the music. And I am, obviously, I'm interested in people, and I'm interested of how our society works, and how, you know, I think, you know, I don't look at the world and think we don't live in a great place. You know what I mean? I think there's enough music out there as well too that will tell you how great life is and on a Friday night.
Let's party.
Yeah. And that's great. And I love that. But you know, that's not the lens through which I see the world all the time.
It looks ugly, but it's clean. Oh, mama, don't fuss over me. The way she tells me I'm hers and she is mine. Open hand or closed fist, oh, would be fine. The blood is rare and sweet as cherry wine.
I did joke at the beginning of our interview about what have you been doing the last 2 years and 3 months? Have you seen any good movies lately? I would then bring me, you know, the neat segue of the upcoming Legend of Tarzan soundtrack and the motion picture. How did that all come to pass? How did you make that connection?
Yeah, so my last time I was in LA was maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, I want to say. And I was literally just off a tour. So I was kind of...
So this was quick.
This was quick. The deadline was like this was a real quick turnaround. It was an interesting experience, but the filmmakers reached out and the film is directed by David Yates, who's an incredible director, amazing to work with, and the score is composed by a guy called Rupert Griegs and Williams. And so they were just talking about, you know, maybe they were looking for like a contemporary song, and I saw an early edit of the film, so I'm still looking forward to kind of seeing the premiere. It's a huge cast, but it was kind of, I think I was kind of chomping at the bit as well too for a challenge and a writing challenge, and it was, you know, here's the film, you know, kind of there's 3 weeks basically to mix and master, to have this mix and mastered and signed off. So it was just a kind of a case of, you know, if I have a demo in 5 days to a week, let's try it. And if not, this is an impossible task. So it was kind of, I don't know. It was a fun challenge. But I mean, it's I'm excited. I'm excited to kind of for the premiere. Excited to see the finished product. But
you can't help when you're on our side of the fence, on the media side of the fence, to start saying, well, you know, obviously the go-to is always Bond.
it's like, you know,
is this going to have the grandeur?
Yeah,
because you know, it's on a big most, and we were listening and going, hey, this does,
right?
It's hitting a big crescendo. By George, he's done it.
yeah.
So kudos, because it really is, it's got that epic feel that you kind of expect for something that's going to be aligned with a big motion picture.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean I think one of the things that never was orchestration or whatever. So, you know, which was great. And that was something that was to tie it in with the score as well too, I suppose, and with Rupert's work. But it was great. To record that in Abbey Road, which was, you know, a dream, which was,
there you go. There's yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, on the bucket list. Yeah. Okay. Check that one off.
Yeah. But, I think I wanted to make sure the song, it would be a song that would sound like me, or would be a song that you know could would really come from me as well too, you know, and kind of put it into my own words and through my own lens, so to speak.
Well, we certainly want to support the career of Hozier, and we want to thank you for coming back and visiting with us. And, you know, we're eager for whatever comes next from you. So good luck, stay well, and safe travels, and keep up the good work.
Will do.
It's Hozier live on 88.5 KCSN.